Amen. I don't think I can top that. So I'll start off by reading you an obituary. This is from the New Orleans paper, the end of last month. William Ziegler escaped this mortal realm on Friday, July 29th, 2016, at the age of 69. We think he did it on purpose to avoid having to make a decision in the pending presidential election. He leaves behind four children, five grandchildren, and the potted meat industry, for which he was the unofficial spokesman, until dietary restrictions forced him to eat real food. William volunteered for service in the United States Navy at the ripe old age of 17 and immediately realized he didn't much enjoy being bossed around. He only stuck it out for one war. Before his discharge, however, the government exchanged numerous ribbons and medals for various honorable acts. Upon his return to the city of New Orleans in 1971, thinking it best to keep an eye on him, government officials hired William as a fireman. After 25 years, he suddenly realized that running away from burning buildings made more sense than running toward them. He promptly retired. Looking back, Williams stated that there was no better group of morons and mental patients than those he had the privilege of serving with, except Bob. He never liked you, Bob. Following his wishes, there will not be a service, but well-wishers are encouraged to write a note of farewell on a Schaefer Light beer can and drink it in his honor. He was never one for sentiment or religiosity, but he wanted you to know that if he owes you a beer and if you can find him in heaven, he will gladly allow you to buy him another. He can likely be found forwarding tasteless internet jokes. Check your spam folder, but don't open those at work. Expect to find an alcoholic dog named Judge passed out at his feet. Unlike previous times, this is not a ploy to avoid creditors or old girlfriends. He assures us that he is gone. He will be greatly missed. Now, generally, we have a form that takes place when we're writing obituaries. Apparently, they didn't know the form. And so when things don't quite happen the way we're used to, not always sure how to handle it. Some of you laughed. Some of you thought about laughing, but weren't sure whether you should laugh because it's an obituary. And maybe some of you even thought it was a little bit tasteless because it was an obituary. It is a bit awkward. It's not as awkward as the pair of obituaries that showed up in the New Jersey Star-Ledger 2 weeks ago. Two obituaries, the same man, one written by his wife, one written by his girlfriend. An awkward moment. But I don't believe for the decedent. We have awkward moments all the time within our lives. Common awkward moments. We're going to walk into an office building and the door doesn't open up because we're pulling instead of pushing, or pushing instead of pulling. We're standing next to somebody who begins talking, and they ask a question, and we answer the question only to realize that they're talking to somebody on a Bluetooth device. We're walking, and suddenly the sidewalk jumps up, and we trip. And what do we almost always do when that happens? We gather ourselves up, we stop, and we turn around and look to see what that mysterious thing was that we tripped over, even though there was nothing there. And there are a plethora of other things that have happened in all of our lives that made us feel a little less than comfortable. my father's brother, my Uncle Sputz, told a story about being at the golf club. And he's standing at the first tee and he looks up. Well, he's waiting to get to the first tee, and he looks up to the first tee, and there standing at the tee box is an old friend of his. And so as he's, what do you call that, addressing the ball, Sputz tiptoes behind him. And he reaches down, and he pinches his bottom. The man jumps up, turns around, and guess what? It wasn't who my uncle thought it was. We all have those times that we wish we hadn't done the things we've done or said the things that we've said because they've made us feel a little awkward, a little bit uncomfortable. Some of us deal with those things a little bit better than others. Others have a higher level of empathy toward awkward situations. Because I can remember growing up as a child and watching different comedy shows on TV, in particular the Lucy Show. And when she would find herself placed in a position that would cause her to feel awkward and uncomfortable, I couldn't laugh because it just made me feel that much uncomfortable on her behalf. Which is really goofy considering it's a television show. It's not real. They're making it all up and they're trying to get people to laugh anyway. But it didn't work for me. You want to talk about uncomfortable moments? Let's talk about today's blessedly short gospel lesson. I'm going to divide people. Somehow there's five people involved here, 3-2, 2-3. The threes are going to win because there's one more of them than the twos, but they're divided. Father against son, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law. I'm not here to bring people together, I'm here to divide. Now wait a minute. This is Jesus. And certainly this is not the Jesus we like. This is Jesus on a bad day. This is Jesus when he woke up on the wrong side of the bed. This is Jesus when he had a rock in his sandal and it was really bothering. This is Jesus when he had a headache and just couldn't shake it. This is Jesus that is just simply annoyed with his disciples being so bloody stupid because he keeps telling them time and time and time again what he's trying to teach and they just don't get it. This is really, really annoyed, angry Jesus. We don't like this Jesus. Who's the Jesus we like? Well, it's that lovey-dovey Jesus. It's the turn the other cheek Jesus. It's I'll give you my cloak Jesus. It is I'll do whatever it takes for you Jesus. It is I will die for your sins, Jesus. It is the I love you, Jesus. That is the Jesus we like. But if you really analyze the teachings of Jesus, and all the things that Jesus asks us to do, and all the things that Jesus tells us not to do, and we crumple that all together, we find out as we come to the Jesus of today's gospel lesson. The divisional Jesus. It can be as simple as starting out with this place. What's the sign out front say? It says, Living Water Lutheran Church. Lutheran. There's a division. Right there. Because if you go down the street, there's another church. Another Jesus-loving place. What's that Jesus loving place called? Pinnacle Presbyterian Church. And then if you go further down Pima to where it basically ends and you go left or right, there is one of those Catholic Jesus loving churches. All there because of division. Different thoughts, different ideas, do it this way, don't do it this way, this is what I interpret, this is how I understand Jesus to be. Division. It causes division in all kinds of things, this Jesus. Because he calls us to be like him. Remember the old little yellow, I think they were yellow, I don't know, the bands? What would Jesus do? WWJD. People don't wear those anymore because I don't think you like the answer. Because when you ask the question, what would Jesus do? I would say probably 75% of the time we're not going to like the answer because it's going to have us doing something we don't want to do. You know, it's okay helping people we know, but when we're called to help people that we don't know, then it becomes a bit problematic. If you have somebody that you know that needs you to go to the grocery store because they're hungry and they can't get food, then what do? You go to the grocery store. But if you're driving down the street and you have a sign by somebody that's holding it up and the sign says, help, I'm hungry, I need food. Well, I don't know who they are. They're probably going to use it for drugs. Whew. Do we say, oh, I wonder what Jesus would do? It is problematic. And Jesus is divisive. Because the entire world has different ways of understanding who Jesus is, what Jesus demands, what Jesus taught, what Jesus asked. And those interpretations lead us in all kinds of different directions. We've all grown up in a world that is ethnically biased, racist, economically divided. No matter where we've grown up, one of those things, if not all three of those things, have existed within our world. And Jesus talks about not dividing those things up. Not tolerating those things, but embracing everyone together. Jesus talks about the Samaritans. Now, you have to really understand when Jesus talks about the Samaritans in a good way, we have a problem here. Because the Samaritans were so reviled by the Jews that we can't even draw a comparison. You think you might have a problem with the Islamic faith because of the terroristic things that have been going on within the world. That does not even come close to comparing to what the Jews felt about the Samaritans. They hated them. And there is division. And Jesus paints them to be the good guys in some stories. In other stories, he calls upon his followers to embrace them. You see, the problem with what Jesus was talking about in today's gospel lesson doesn't have anything to do with Jesus, but it has to do with the fact of how we accept or reject or interpret the teachings of Jesus. Because those are the things that become divisional for us. Those are the things that divide us as a people because we pick and choose. We might not be as bad as Thomas Jefferson was when he decided to put his Bible together back in the 1700s. And if you don't know about that one, you should look it up. Because he went through the New Testament and he took a pair of scissors and he cut out the things that he didn't agree with that Jesus did because he didn't understand them. And he glued the other things in to create his own little Bible. Well, at least he was upfront about it. Because that is exactly what we do. All of us. We pick and choose. The ones that work for us at any given time. What would Jesus do? Well, I'm not going to do that now. What would Jesus do? Okay, I can do that now because that fits. Because I like that person. Because it's not that big of a deal. Because this is what Jesus would have me do. And I'm a good Christian after all. So here you go. Here's a couple of bucks. You see, the division comes within our hearts. The division of 3-2 and 2-3 and family divided against family has to do with how we choose to pick and choose and interpret what works and what doesn't work. And when we have people that interpret other things, then there's an issue, there's a problem. And those things exist within the lives of every congregation as we decide what we're going to do ministerially. Where is our responsibility as a church for this community? What programs and institutions do we support? How do we do ministry here? We pick and choose. And for some people, there are things that are vitally important. For other people, they're absolutely malarkey. And we have better things to do with our time and our resources and our money. And then there's division. But you see, Jesus calls us not to pick and choose. Jesus challenges us each and every day as we go out within this world to figure out what it is that we can do, what it is that we should do, not what we want to do. And so, as we continue to celebrate the gift of life that God has placed within our world and within our being, we celebrate it in a way by figuring out how it is that we might serve God each and every day. Not picking and choosing, but challenging ourselves. Challenging ourselves to at least in our minds wear that silly little wristband of what would Jesus do? And then seeing if that is something that we can do. Not because we want to, not because we have time to, not because we have energy to or money to, but because Jesus asks us to. When we choose otherwise, then the division begins. Because as soon as we pick and choose, other people are going to make other choices. And then there is division. Jesus challenges us to bridge that gap, to move beyond economic divides and ethnic divides and racial divides and religious divides, and just to take our lives and see it as a blessing and the tool that God has given us, to be able to step out of this world and to do what we can to bridge those divides, to be a difference maker within the world, if not within the entire world, within the life of somebody within this world, using what we've been blessed with, using what we feel is our entitlement within this world, to reflect and wonder what would Jesus do. And then not only wonder, but to do our very best to do that very thing. When we start doing that, individually and then collectively, those gaps will be bridged. Those divisions will slowly heal. And we will work to do the things that God has called us to do. Not being part of division or derision, but being part of life and love. Amen.